Okay, so yeah, if you want to keep your Bibles open at Psalm 70, that would be great. Just a question to begin. Anyone remember what this is? Potentially maybe younger people as well, but Millie, do you remember what this one was? The sheet about prayer stuff. I love that. So yes, the prayer catechism, we like to say in a very big word. But yeah, no, it's lots of questions and answers about prayer. And I thought just for a test for some of us, I'm going to ask you the first two questions from that catechism. And people of any age, put your hand up and I will sort of get the answer from you. So people remember, from that catechism, who do we pray to? Who do we pray to? Millie's on it. Millie. The God of love, fantastic. And the second, so the God of love, yep. And so what is prayer? Noah is straight in. Pouring out our hearts to God. Okay, it's a really good, I think there might still be some of these fridge magnets in the box at the back if you don't have one yet. It's really good to have that on the fridge. I think I've been really struck with those two questions and answers this week looking at this psalm. Because I think Psalm 70, the psalm we're going to look at for a few minutes, I think it's here in the Bible to show us what it looks like for someone to pour out their heart to God. If you look at that psalm for a minute, Psalm 70, it's one of the shorter psalms in the book. It's described as a petition. That means it's a prayer that someone prays for themselves and for other people, for God to help them. And if you ever try and read the whole book of Psalms in one sitting, which is an amazingly brave thing to do, but fair play if you do, you'd actually have a sense of deja vu with this one, because Psalm 70 is practically identical to Psalm 40. The last little bit of Psalm 40 is pretty much word for word this Psalm, Psalm 70. And I want to say that what that means is the person who put together the book of Psalms, the living God, thought the picture of prayer we get in this psalm is worth repeating. It's like, we heard it in Psalm 40, but we're going to hear it again in Psalm 70, because this is what prayer is all about. This is so much to teach us about who we are and who the God is that we pray to. And one of the things that's really struck me about this psalm this week is very simply this. Prayer isn't about being polite before God. It's not about pretending that everything is fine or pretending that we are fine. No, in prayer, God wants his people to be honest with him. Like the way that catechism puts it, to pour out our hearts to him. That is what prayer is all about. And I hope you saw when Nathan was reading it, Psalm 70, it's a really honest prayer. The psalmist cries to God for help. Actually, he does more than that. He actually tells God to hurry up, which is not a very polite way of talking to God when you think about it. Verse 1, he says, "Hasten, O God, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me." Verse 5, "Come quickly to me, O God. Lord, do not delay." He's going, please God, hurry up and help me. And also in this prayer, the psalmist asks God to judge his enemies. That's verses 2-3 here. He says, may those who seek my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. Again, that's not a very nice prayer to pray. He's asking God to judge his enemies. This isn't a polite prayer or a nice prayer, but what it is, it's an honest prayer. This person is pouring out his heart to God. And when we do that, it isn't always polite. It isn't always nice. But God wants us to do that because he loves us. I read a really good description of prayer the last couple of weeks is this. Prayer is not something I do, but someone I am with. We kind of think prayer, that's something I've got to do. But actually prayer is someone we're with. When we pray, we are with the God of love who loves us and wants us to be honest with him. See, Psalm 70, it's a very honest prayer, and it reminds us of the God we pray to, the God who made the universe and the God who made me, the God who loves me and wants me to be honest with him. That is what Psalm 70 shows us. If you like, it's a model prayer about what it means to pray. And so a couple of things from Psalm 70 as we spend time together now. The first thing is this, from the opening and closing verse, this psalm tells us that we pray because only our God has the power to save and help us. We pray because only God is strong enough to help us. Because the psalm begins with the psalmist in a really bad way. Verse 2, he's surrounded by people who seek his life and desire his ruin. Things are not good for the psalmist. So what does he do? He cries out to God. Hasten, O God, to save me, verse 1. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. This isn't a polite prayer. It's not, well, if it's okay, God, could you do this? It's a prayer of desperation. It's going, God, if you don't do something, I am going to die. And the psalmist prays because he knows who he is and he knows who God is. If you look at verse 5 at the end, or verse 4 at the end, he says, I am poor and needy. He says, that's who I am. But you are my help and my deliverer. That's where prayer starts. It kind of goes, I know that on my own, I'm poor and needy. I can't make it. I'm not strong enough to make it. But you, God, are my help and my deliverer. There was a very old teacher, a reformer called John Calvin. He said, true wisdom is to know God and to know yourself. And that's where prayer starts. Prayer starts by going, I know myself. I'm poor and needy. I can't make it on my own. I know who God is. He's my help and my deliverer. So prayer says, I'm going to ask him for help. I'm not going to pretend I can make it on my own. Again, as Elaine said, that's kind of how someone becomes a Christian in the first place. You realize you're not good enough. You can't work hard enough to be friends with God. So you say, I can't do it, Lord. Please forgive me. Please save me. You are strong and I'm not. And it's the same for the whole Christian life. Even when we're Christians, we say, Lord, I can't keep going. There are people around me I find difficult. There's a world around me that is really difficult to live in. I can't do it, Lord, but you are my help and my deliverer, and I'm going to ask you for help. If you look down at verse 4 there's a great description of what it means to belong to God's people. According to verse 4, a believer is someone who seeks God, who longs for God's saving help. That's what a believer is. It's not somebody who just believes the right things or maybe made a decision a long time ago or who goes to church. It's someone who seeks God. He goes, God, I need you. I need you desperately, God. So the question I think this bit of the psalm asks us is, well, is that us? Are we people who see how much we need God every day of our lives? Do we see that we are poor and needy, but that God is our help and our deliverer? Is that us? There was a friend of mine. He was at a big conference, and it was a group of British pastors. They were doing something, but in the same conference hall, there's a big group of African Pentecostal church leaders. And he got a bit bored having lunch with the British ones. He went and had lunch with the African Pentecostal leaders. And he sort of said at one point over dinner, why do you think it is that British Christians, we're not that good at praying? We're often pretty prayerless, he said. Quite a big statement, but he said it. And the guy said, well, the problem with you guys is you've got life savings and you've got health insurance and you've got all these things that you rely on. People in our churches, they have none of that. And they just have to cry out to God. We have to cry out to God every day for even the bare necessities. One guy said, we don't even know. We say goodbye to someone. It was an area with massive HIV, AIDS problems. Will this person be alive next week? I don't know. They were poor and they were needy, and so they prayed. Now, my friend wasn't telling me, get rid of all my bank details, my savings, all those things, but I think it's a really striking thing. Do we rely on the good things God gives us instead of relying on God? Do we see ourselves as poor and needy? Because it's only when we do that we actually learn what it means to pray, like the psalmist does here, to pour our hearts out to God. So we pray because only God has the power to save and help us. The other two bits are a lot more brief. We pray also, verses 2 to 3, because there will always be people who oppose us. There will always be people in the world who make life difficult. Look at verses 2 to 3 again. The psalmist describes his enemies in really vivid ways. He says, those who seek my life, those who desire my ruin, who say to me, aha, aha, which is a nice way of putting it. I guess that third bit is just people who mock the psalmist. And I guess in our culture, maybe we don't often experience what it means for people to seek our lives, but maybe we do know what it means to be mocked, people to laugh when they hear, you go to a church, you follow this Jesus. But what this psalm makes clear, what the whole of the Bible makes clear, is there will always be people who oppose God and oppose God's people. We need to accept that, be prepared for that, but also Psalm 70, we need to pray about that. Again, you look at that middle bit, verses 2 to 3, it's easy to think the psalmist is being really unloving here. Basically, he's asking God to judge his enemies, to put them to shame, and that doesn't sound very loving. What would Jesus say to that? Would Jesus not say, well, just be friends with them, David? But actually, Jesus didn't just say, love your enemies. Matthew 5, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And that is what David's doing here. He's praying for his enemies. He's bringing them before God in prayer. He's asking God to judge them, but he knows ultimately that is God's decision to make. What David has to do is tell God about those people. So he talks to God about his enemies, and he trusts God to do what is right. There's another bit in the New Testament that says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. See, again, this is the psalmist being honest with God. He's saying, these people feel like they're all around me. They're hurting me, God. Please help me. Please stop them. Please save me from them. But ultimately, he's got to trust God to do what is right. God might well judge those enemies. Amazingly, God might well save those enemies. But the psalmist knows he can trust God for that. What he's got to do is talk to God about it, pour out his heart to God about it. Pray for your enemies, says Jesus. That is what the psalmist is doing. That's what we need to do. Not just stew over those people who hurt us, not gossip about them, talk to other people about them. Ultimately, we ask God, please do something about these people. And the final reason we pray in the Psalms, a bit more positive, and it's verse 4, other believers always need our prayers. Verse 4 is a great prayer for any of us to pray for other Christians. If you're a Christian here today, verse 4 is a wonderful prayer. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. See, what he prays there is that other believers like him would find joy in knowing who God is. See, praying for other believers is one of the main ways we show we love them. And it's actually one of the main ways we grow in loving for them. Loving other believers doesn't always come naturally, but if we pray for them, God helps us love even people we might find difficult. And if we don't pray for one another, then we'll never learn what it means to love one another. Again, at Avenue, we say we want to be a loving family, but if we're not praying for one another, that's not going to happen. So David shows us here how to pray for one another and how to pray for people who are actually going through the same persecutions that he's going through, verses 2 to 3. We might not know what it feels like for people to seek our lives, but there are plenty of brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who know what that feels like. So we need to pray for them. Pray that they would find joy in knowing God, even in those difficult circumstances. If we are going to grow as a church family at Avenue, both in maturity and in numbers, we need to pray for one another that we would find joy. We would proclaim the Lord is great to one another and to people who don't yet know him. And then God will be at work powerfully. So this psalm, it's a great picture of someone pouring out their hearts to God. It tells us why we pray in the first place. We pray because we're actually weak. We're poor and needy, and only God is strong enough to help us. We pray because there will always be people who oppose us, who make life difficult for us. And we pray because other believers always need our prayers. That is what prayer is. It's pouring our hearts out to God. But there's one other little thing I want us to see. At the beginning, verse 1 and verse 5, there's a great picture of what it is we also do when we pray. We pray because life in this world can be difficult. We pray because other people in this world can struggle. But look at verse 1 and verse 5 again. The psalmist says, come quickly, Lord, to help me. Come quickly to me, O God. And when you read that, you can't help but pick up an echo of a longing there is in the New Testament. The early Christians would often say to one another, Maranatha. It was an Aramaic phrase. Even though the Muslim didn't speak Aramaic, they would say, Maranatha, that means our Lord come. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time we pray for ourselves, for people we know who are struggling, for people across the world who are going through hard times, ultimately what we're saying is, come, Lord Jesus. Put things right. When we pray, we know that sin and death will not win in the end. The victory belongs to Jesus. So as we pray, we say, come, Lord Jesus, knowing he will do that in his timing, and we will see him face to face, and he'll put an end to sin and to death. It's a great picture of prayer. And Pete is going to lead us in a time of prayer in a moment. Before that, we're going to sing. So we're going to sing together a great song reminding us, actually, of our weakness, but of God's strength. When I fear my strength will fail, he will hold me fast. That's our confidence. Not that we're strong or we pray a lot. It's the God we pray to is the one who holds us and keeps us. So we'll sing together, and then Pete will lead us in a time of prayer.